You know what? I'm going to make myself a note. I sent the website home after his very first story, and I may have just gotten some. It was in a big email to your moms and dads. So I'm going to write myself a note, and I will remember, because Mr. Tibbetts takes everyone of these, and then he puts them on his website, and we can all go on his website and listen to them on his website. Okay?
Okay, you guys are, and this is the only question I'm going to take, only because you are special. What?
Is it going to be a scary story?
This is a different one. Most stories I tell, you guys probably don't know this, but you feel it. Every story, many stories have what's called a story arc. And a story arc is that when you watch a story, particularly like Disney movies, they go for a while, kind of while they set the scene of the story. And you find out who everybody is. Wally is just working his way doing trash. And then all of a sudden there's a huge event that happens. And then the story arc starts. And it goes like this. It goes like this. It gets more and more and more and more exciting. And then there's this piece. It's the climax. And it comes back down and resolves. Most of my stories have a very sharp story arc to them. This one is much gentler. And it's kind of like just going for a journey. So this one's a little different, and I know this breaks your heart, but there's nothing in here that's going to scare you to death. I'm so sorry. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. So Mara Lee lived on an island, and you probably, maybe some of you heard of Hawaii or something like that, but this is not like that at all. This is an island that's out in the middle of nowhere that nobody ever really knew about because it was near nothing at all. And I've got to tell you about the island because it was truly beautiful in many ways and a little bit strange in the others. And this is where Mara Lee lived. The island was, thank you very much. The island was not really that large. As a matter of fact, if you ran around it, you could probably do it in about 3 hours. And it was beautiful white sand almost everywhere. I mean, the kind that's like baby powder in your hands. And the sea was this beautiful turquoise that it seemed like you could see down forever. You could see the fish swimming in it. And the waves really weren't that big. And it had palm trees that were kind of short. But it looked like those posters you sometimes see of like, boy, if I could just be right there right now, I'd be in heaven. It was a beautiful blue and white and green place. And the sky was like robin's egg blue. And one of the unusual things about this island was there weren't ever any clouds above it. I mean, the sky was beautiful. It was just blue and you could see as far as you could see. It seemed like forever. But Mara Lee, or anybody on the island, frankly, had never seen a cloud because clouds never came to this particular island. And as you would imagine, Mara Lee was very tan. She was kind of dark and mahogany looking and had this beautiful skin from being out in the sun all the time. And her dad was a fisherman and he had a boat and she'd go out with him. And she always wanted to be a fisherman because her dad was kind of her hero. But Mara Lee, you need to know, was kind of short. She was strong, but she wasn't very tall. And the island usually had some fairly tall people on it. And so when she'd go out and she'd try to throw the net, she couldn't throw it very far. And her father would say to her, Mara Lee, if you eat all your vegetables, maybe you'll grow kind of tall and then you can throw the net. And she'd go home and she'd eat all the carrots and she'd eat all the broccoli and the vegetables, which was kind of odd to be growing on a small island like that, but they were. And she ate them till her skin turned green, but she never grew an inch. Now, the shortness wasn't only a problem for wanting to be a fisher person or a fisher woman, but because of the nature of the island, being short was also kind of a handicap, so to speak, because the island was covered with an odd kind of tree called an ancala tree. And an ancala tree was one that didn't grow actually very tall at all. Maybe just as tall as maybe this right here, this kind of edge right here. That's all the taller it grew. And it made a canopy all over the island with branches that were almost like monkey bars that you could swing underneath. And so that's how most of the kids on the island got around. They didn't even have to walk on the sand. They'd just swing from tree to tree. And everybody was proud of how well they could swing. And everybody kind of worked their way around the island underneath these branches like that. And it was the best monkey bar ever because all the leaves were still there. And the sun would shine down on the top and it would glow inside like green. And so it was like you were in this shaded green monkey bar place. And everybody would get around the island like that except for Mara Lee. And you know why? She was too short. She couldn't reach him. And she'd jump and she'd reach. She couldn't get to him. And the kids would kind of make fun of her. And she'd eat her vegetables to try to grow. And her dad would take her out fishing. But the kids didn't really want to play with her too much because they all wanted to just go swinging around this island. And she couldn't really follow them anywhere. But she would walk behind them in the sand. And she'd explore in her own way. And they'd be ahead of her. And she could hear their voices. And the place they would usually all go to, the place that they would swing to on this island, the kids and Marilee, was the center of the island because it was a little strange. See, this island just had the Ancala trees, but in the center there was an area maybe the size of twice this room where no trees grew at all. As a matter of fact, it was just sand, as if there'd been sort of a stage created in the center of the island. Except in the very center of the stage, in the very center of the white, was a single flower. And the flower was this beautiful purple. I mean, kind of like the color of your blouse here. It was this beautiful purple. And it just sat there all by itself. And it had five petals and a yellow center. And the elders on the island, and I didn't tell you about the elders, but these were the people that were all wrinkled and had lived there forever and were kind of the people that were the leaders of this people that lived on the island. They would talk and they'd say, when you are in the center, do not touch the purple flower. It is sacred. Whatever you do, don't touch the purple flower. So nobody ever touched the purple flower. The kids didn't. Marilee didn't. The elders didn't. It just sat there and everybody kind of wondered why. But it was a great place to swing to because it was beautiful and the flower was there. And the island in general was very nice. And Marilee, you know, had a very nice family. But she didn't get to play too much because, you know, everybody was all off swinging and she couldn't. So she'd go down to the ocean. And, you know, the ocean was a beautiful place too. And she had a special place she'd go to. She'd work her way down around the corner of the beach. And there was a place where the cliffs had kind of caved in. And where they'd fallen down, the ocean had come in and they'd washed away the coral and had created towers. They called them the coral towers and they were actually pretty tall. It's tall as that tree out there. And they were round, about this big around. And they almost looked like pillars. And the waves had come and crashed and worn them down. And as a result, the shells that had kind of frozen into the coral sort of stuck out a little bit nubbly, like little lumps. And Marilee found that she could actually go down to these and she could grab them and she could pull herself up and she could actually climb up these coral towers. So although she couldn't swing from tree to tree, she could do this thing that she thought was really special, which was climb these coral towers and get on top of them. And her fingers grew really strong because she was having to grip these little things and the waves would be smashing against her. And she actually thought this was a lot more fun than swinging underneath trees. It was kind of like going to the top of these things. And she'd go to her friends and say, you know, why don't you come down to the coral towers? That's as fun as swinging. And her friends would make fun of her because, you know, they knew how to swing from tree to tree. They didn't want to try to do something they couldn't do. And they'd say, that's a silly thing to do. Why would you want to even play on the coral towers? We're going to go swinging on the trees again. Too bad you can't. And they'd disappear swinging underneath the trees. And she'd go by herself and play on the coral towers and make up games about how quickly she could get up and dream about being taller and marking. She'd go to her, you know, little cottage that she lived in, and every day she'd mark to see how she grew, and every day she was never any taller, and it started to feel like nothing was ever going to change. Didn't feel like she was getting older. Didn't feel like she was making any friends. Just felt like day in, day out, there she'd be on the island forever and ever. Well, it'd be a boring story if that's all that happened. But something actually happened that changed everything for her. And it was on a night where they'd all been sitting around a fire, the elders and Marilee and all the kids, and listening to the elders talk. And the elders talked about something she'd never heard about, called clouds. And they described them. These incredibly beautiful things, they floated through the sky like they were flying, and they were big, and they were white, and beautiful. And the most incredible thing about them is when they would get in front of the sunshine, all of a sudden, it was like magic. The island would get cool. And all of a sudden, you could see these things happen on your arm. They were like little bumps. It was like magic. And we called them seagull bumps. And the clouds, they'd come and they'd go. And the amazing thing is, because it was cool, trees grew. Not just the Ancala, but...
Sorry for the interruption. We have a white Chevy Express, license plate 033, white yellow, Ida W. Walter. It needs to be moved. It's in the bus lane. Thank you.
Is that you?
No. But trees that grew because it was cooler, they went all the way up to the sky. And they touched the clouds. Trees that touched the clouds. But then something happened and all of a sudden the clouds went away and they never came back and the trees disappeared. And someday it is foretold that on the night of five falling stars, the clouds will come back. But that was so long ago, that's just myth now. And we don't think that's true, but it's a wonderful fable, isn't it? Well, that's what Marilee went to sleep thinking about in front of the fire and started to have dreams. And some unusually loud waves came in that woke her up about 2 in the morning, and everything was dark except for the beautiful stars up in the sky. And she lay there looking up and walked away from the fire, went down by the beach where it was really dark and the stars were really bright, and looked up. And as she did, all of a sudden a shooting star came flying across the sky. She thought, well, that's funny. They were talking about shooting stars, but I've seen them before. But isn't that kind of strange, she thought to herself. And she looked, and I don't know if you know this, but shooting stars all seem to come from some place in the sky, like a constellation. And this one seemed to come from the constellation Pegasus, the horse. And she lay there, and all of a sudden there was another star. And it came from Pegasus also. And a couple minutes later, another one. And it came from Pegasus. And she lay there thinking, that's the strangest coincidence of all. And then something happened she never thought would happen. Two more came flying down from the same place. And the last one was a big red shooting star that seemed to just screech all the way across the island and poof, land somewhere in the middle of the island. Well, she kind of shook her head like this and figured, you know, as you would, I must have just had a dream. You know, of course, that couldn't have been real. I've just been, you know, and she closed her eyes to go back to sleep thinking it was a wonderful dream, and she did. Just sure it was a dream. And the next morning she woke up and she looked around and everybody was gone and she didn't understand why. Because usually they're all huddled around the fire pit making breakfast, but they were all gone. And she heard voices and she looked, and there they were all at the side of the Ancala forest. The elders, her dad, everybody was there, and they were all talking. And she ran over and something was different. She didn't know what it was, but something just didn't feel right. It was like she looked down at her arm and you know what she saw on it? Seagull bumps. And she looked up in the sky and you know what she couldn't see? The sun. Because the whole island was covered by one single big white cloud. And she'd never seen such an incredible thing. It looked like a huge big white thing that was flying, and it seemed to move on the edges, and the feeling was so cool and wonderful. And then she saw what everybody was staring at, because it wasn't just the cloud. For in the center of the island was a tree. The biggest tree anybody'd ever seen. It reached all the way up and disappeared in the cloud, which seemed like forever above the island. And excitedly, everybody started running under the Ancala trees and swinging to get to the center of the island where this tree was. And she realized this must have been where that shooting star had landed. And she ran as fast as she could. And by now she was a pretty fast runner because her legs were strong, and she was running through the sand, and the people were swinging above her, and everybody was yelling and not making fun of her at all, because everybody wanted to see where the tree was. And she comes to the edge of the clearing, and there, instead of a little purple flower, is this huge tree that just goes straight up to the sky. It just disappears. And it was scary looking up. It's, you know, when you're on the top of a mountain looking down, how it's scary. Well, this was scary because she'd never seen anything so big looking up. And everybody was talking and pointing and looking up, and they couldn't even see the top of it because it disappeared into the cloud. And it was so big around, it was like 10 people could put their arms around it and and just barely touch and make a ring. It was almost as big as maybe, you know, this room here. It was huge. And everybody was rushing up to it, and just like you would, they wanted to reach the cloud and touch it and see what it felt like, and people were trying to climb up it. But there was no way to climb up it, almost. For the whole surface was smooth, as if it had been washed by the ocean. Except that everywhere on it were little lumps. Just these strange little lumps that seemed to stick out. And everybody tried to hold on to them and climb up them, but their fingers slipped off and they fell, because of course nobody had the strength and nobody knew how to climb up something that was just lumpy. They knew how to swing from tree to tree. And everybody was trying to climb up and falling off, and Mary Lee was in the background and she looked at the lumps, and you know what those looked an awful lot like?
Shells.
They looked exactly like shells, with the little ridges and everything. Shells that had grown out of a tree. And she looked at her hands and she looked at, and she said very quietly, "I think I can do it." And of course, nobody was paying any attention. They're all making noise, and the big strong boys were all trying and standing on each other's shoulders, and they made a little pyramid, and one of them got about 10 feet up, and then everybody fell below and they all collapsed down, and everybody kept saying, "I can do it, I can do it." And Mary Lee said, "I can do it." And nobody heard her. And she said a little louder, "I can do it." And everybody was talking so loud, they didn't hear her. And then Mary Lee did something that she never knew she had in her. She went, "I can do it!" Well, that's what everybody did. They kind of went like this, and they all turned around, and everybody was completely quiet, and then, of course, they just started laughing because Mary Lee couldn't climb anything. And they're all laughing at her and joking, and they just kept trying to climb it, and one of the elders said, "No, let her try." And everybody stopped. And when an elder talks, you listen. I mean, it's almost like having your teacher tell you something. I mean, like, no matter what they say, you do exactly what they say. So the elder said that. And everybody opened up, and she walked up, and everybody was quiet. And she reached up, and she put her finger on one. And she could hear everybody kind of murmuring, like, "Oh, yeah, that's Mary Lee. She can't do it." But she grabbed it, and she pulled, and she reached up on another one, and it was just like the pillars. And she reached up on another one and started pulling up, and as soon as she did, it was like she could put her foot here, and then that made room for another foot to go here, and she pulled up and reached up and grabbed, and pulled up and reached up and grabbed, and all of a sudden, everything that was, "Oh, she can't do it. Yeah, well, yeah, that's Mary Lee," everybody got quiet. And as she got higher and higher, all of a sudden she heard something she'd never heard before. It was this really quiet murmur from everybody. They were going, "Go, go, go." And she realized they were cheering her on. "Go, go, Mary Lee, go. Go, go, Mary Lee, go." It was like a whisper because they didn't want to break her concentration. And the more she heard that, the more she just kept wanting to reach and pull. And it was just like climbing up one of the pillars, only it just kept going and going. And all she could think about was just what's right in front of her, where the next one was. And time passed, and she had no idea how far she had climbed because she wasn't looking down. She was just looking for the next little lump. And she didn't remember how long it was she'd been climbing, but she noticed that the sound from the people below was far away, like they were shouting and yelling, "Go, go, Mary Lee!" But she could barely hear it. And then she did the wrong thing. She looked down. And I don't know if you guys have ever been like on the top of a really tall building and looked over the edge, where it just makes your whole stomach go, Well, that's what happened to her. And she couldn't help it, but one of her hands slipped and her body swung down and she was just hanging on one shelf. And she was just hanging there, swinging back and forth, and she heard this loud from everybody below. And her fingers were just hanging on. She looked up and she could see them shaking. And she looked down and it was like it was forever. And she reached up and she found another shell and another one and put her hands there and pulled herself back. And she could hear the whole group below go, And she went, And needless to say, she didn't look down from that point forward. She just looked and kept imagining and saying to herself, it's just a pillar, just a C pillar, just a C pillar. She worked her way higher and higher. And time kept passing. And she didn't really know how long it was. It could have been 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 2 hours. She didn't know because all she was doing was just looking at this tree and working her way up. And then it started to feel a little different. She wasn't sure what was different, but just something was kind of strange. It was like everything around her was just a little cooler and a little grayer. And she looked at her hand and she could hardly see it. And she realized she was losing her eyesight because she'd never been in a cloud before. It was just that she climbed into the cloud and she looked around her and it was like soft, like there was cotton in your ears. All of a sudden it was quiet. And she couldn't hear anything. And she couldn't see down and she couldn't see up. It just felt like she was in this completely comfortable place with this wonderful, cool feeling around it. She could see little droplets on her arms, on her little hairs. And all the little, remember what came back? Seagull bumps, they all came back. And it felt like she was home. It just felt right. And she knew she was maybe 1,000 feet up in the air. But she couldn't convince herself she was because it just felt she was in this nice place. And she started going a little further and then things changed because where these little lumps were, now that she was in the cloud, they became branches, little short branches like they were growing. She could actually hear them as if they were kind of growing as they drank up all this cloud moisture. And on the end of each one of the branches was a little beautiful purple flower exactly the color of your what? And in the middle was a little yellow circle. And she'd never been close to them, of course, because everybody said stay away, but there they were just right there and she could smell them and oh, the smell. She'd never smelled anything like this because you've all smelled flowers, haven't you? You know what it's like, a rose. She never had. Imagine for the first time in your life smelling the smell of a rose and never having smelled it before. It's like the most beautiful thing she'd ever smelled and she just stopped and she realized that the flower looked like it was a perfect fit to put in just this place. And she picked it out and it had this long branch. And she said, where should I put this? And it slid right behind her ear. And she took another one and slid right behind her ear. And then the smell just kind of floated around her face. And not only was she in this beautiful place with these clouds around her, but the smell was heavenly. And now she had branches and she didn't have to worry about anything. And she just kept climbing. And it was so easy, she even closed her eyes and just worked her way up. And just enjoyed this feeling of climbing and smelling and feeling. And then all of a sudden, it was sunny again. She didn't expect that. Because when you're underneath a cloud, you figure it just goes forever. But you and I know, because we've been in airplanes, clouds don't go forever. They've got tops. Well, nobody ever, ever, ever on our island had seen a cloud, much less anybody seen the top of a cloud. And when you are on a tree that just stuck up through a cloud, and you're looking around, it looks exactly like this beautiful, white, fluffy, marshmallowy sort of land with hills and valleys. Well, and you know what happens when you see something like that and you're tired and you don't know what it is. She did the obvious thing. She went, oh, I can rest. And she let go of the tree and jumped, expecting to land on this white place. And all of a sudden, she's about to land. And you know what happened?
She falls through it.
She bounced off. Boing! And flips through the air. And boing! Flips on another one. And boing! And flips and boing! And it's like the softest bed you've ever jumped on times 10. Picture a white trampoline that goes everywhere, that's soft as marshmallows, that you end up being pushed twice as high as you ever had on any trampoline you've ever been, and that's not even close to what this was like. And she was bouncing and doing flips and jumping and just going everywhere and not paying any attention to anything at all, because this is like heaven. And she finally gets really tired because, you know, on trampolines after a while, you know, 10 jumps and you're like, and she's the same way because she's never done that before, and she's just like lying there. And the nice thing is the little cloud is like a little mattress. Every time she'd breathe, it'd go. It was just like, you know, the best beanbag chair you've ever been on in your life. And she opens her eyes, and there she sees something she didn't expect, because it almost looks like there's this white lumpy thing that's different than the rest of it. It's a little ways away. It's like, huh, that's strange, because everything's like this, and this thing is like this. Kind of squarish. Josie starts bouncing over there, and boing, boing, boing. The closer she gets, the closer she realizes, it looks like a little house, a little white house, which you wouldn't expect in a place like this. Not at all. And she bounced up to it, and sure enough, it looked just like one of the cabins that they lived in, cottages they lived in downstairs, except all the sides were white. And there was a little kind of, you know, like a little picnic table in front made of white. And it had a door made of white. And she walked up to it. And it had a little handle made of white. And she grabbed it. It was kind of soft and gushy, like it really was like a marshmallow. And she opened the door and she looked in. And you know what she saw?
Marshmallow.
You can't guess?
Marshmallow.
Come on. It's obvious. It's obvious. What did she see? A little man dressed in lederhosen. I mean, duh. It was a little man, and he had a pointy little hat, and he was wearing this big, fluffy green sort of shirt and leather pants, and he had a beard down to here, and he had like this thing on his backpack with stuff in it, and he's sitting on a little chair, and he looks up at her, and he says, "About time you got here. Where are you been?" And she went like that, "Yeah, yeah, I've been waiting here 50 years. About darn time." Well, she was a little puzzled. Well, she didn't know they were lederhosen. She'd never seen this before, because all they wear is like little, you know, grass skirts and stuff. You know, so all that was a little foreign to her. And she said, "Well, are you from my island?" "Heck no, I'm not." "Well, you've been here 50 years?" "Yeah, I've got stuck here." "Well, how did you get here?" "Well, I'm a mountain climber." "Okay, what's a mountain?" "Oh, a mountain is like a big thing that sticks up out of the earth. It's like a real pointy part of the earth. You never see them, I guess. Well, maybe because you're from the islands. You see, I climb mountains all over the world, and there's this really big, famous one in the middle of the ocean in this island. And so I went there because I thought, you know, I should climb every mountain. And people talk about this one. I went there, and it was just great. You know, I was the only one on the island. And they dropped me off by a boat, and I started climbing. It took me about half a day. And the strangest thing was there was this big, round cloud at the top. Well, I didn't really care too much about that because I've climbed the clouds before. So I just kept on going. I got in the middle of this cloud, and that was just fine because, yeah, I've been in clouds before. That was okay. And I kept climbing, climbing, climbing. Kind of great. And then I get above it. And that's fine. And then it got kind of strange because, you know, I got kind of tired because I'd been climbing so long. So I laid down to go to sleep, and I fell asleep, and, you know, sleeping was fine. And then I woke up because I was on this sharp, pointy rock. And you know how that is. You're on a sharp, pointy rock, and you can't sleep, and you roll over. And I was kind of half asleep. I didn't really know what was going on. I looked over, and there I saw this white, fluffy down mattress. I thought, "Oh, I'll just go over there and sleep." Well, I walked over there and I jumped on that mattress, and boy, that was soft and cushy. I didn't realize I was jumping on some strange kind of cloud. Fell sound asleep. Dang, if that cloud didn't move away from that island. I woke up, I'm on this cloud, and there's my mountain way over there. And I've been stuck on this thing for 50 years waiting for somebody to come and rescue me, and I'd say, "About time you got here, Missy. Thank you." Well, that was quite the story, of course. She said, "Well, you know, it's very nice to meet you. What's your name?" And his name, of course, was?
Bob.
"Bob.
My name's Bob! Bob the Mountain Climber!"
"Well, that's an odd name. My name is Mary Lee."
"Nice to meet you, Mary Lee. I'd like you to meet one of the persons that's been up here. You know, this oddest thing. But, that guy right over there."
She looked over and there, curled up. Didn't notice it before. Beside the side. Not that big. Kind of small, like a Shetland pony, was this beautiful white horse. Completely curled up and asleep, just like a big puppy dog. Now, she thought at first, maybe it was some kind of special horse, but she looked at it, and no, it was just a beautiful white horse, and it was sleeping there. And Bob said, Yeah, well, why don't you wake up there? And he called out the horse's name, which of course was... No.
Fred.
Fred. Fred, why don't you wake up? Fred lifts his head like this and looks around and goes... And Fred looks over and sees Marilee and he sees the flowers in her hair. And for some reason, Fred's eyes just lit up like this. He went... And he jumps up and he starts running. And he runs and he runs and he runs. And he runs over and they start following him because they don't know where he's going. And Fred's going, or Bob's going, I don't know what he's doing. He's never done this before. He always just sleeps. And he starts running over to the edge of the cloud. And just before he gets to the edge, he stops. And Fred stops and he goes, and he goes like this, back to Marilee. And Marilee's looking and she doesn't know what he's doing. He's going, and Bob's going, I don't know, I've never seen anything like it. I've never wanted to jump off that before. And nobody, everybody's kind of confused because nothing makes any sense at all. It's just this white horse going like this on the edge of a cloud that you can stand on with a guy in lederhosen and a little house made out of cloud, and the whole thing's really pretty strange for Marilee because just 12 hours ago she was sleeping on the beach and everything was normal and now it was far from normal. Says Fred, Bob says, well, let's, before we climb on back down, let's get some refreshments. And they go back into the house. And he says, what do you want? She says, what do you mean? Well, I've got tea or I've got tea. What do you want?
Tea.
And she said, well, I think I'll have tea.
Mm-hmm. Said, okay, I'll get you tea.
And he reached down, strangest thing, he just reached down to the cloud and pulled it up. And it was like flowing around his hands like, you know, like smoke, kind of. But then he formed it like clay into like this little cup. And it looked like a little white mug that had a little, you know, kind of fog coming off it. And he took it and he scooped it down again and it filled up with some stuff that was kind of floating around the top. And he hands it to her, there you go, mint tea. She looked at it, it was the strangest thing. This white cup made out of cloud and the stuff, but she smelled it, and sure enough, it smelled just like mint. And she took a sip, and it tasted just like mint. It was the strangest thing ever. And he said, I don't know, mint tea, it's the only thing the cloud makes, and you can live on it. I've been here for 50 years. Can't tell you how much I'd like some hot chocolate, but no, all I got is mint tea, so mint tea it is. So they sat there, and they had some mint tea, and they drank it. And they said, I think it's time to go back. Now, where is that tree of yours? So they get outside the house. And they look around. And where the tree was, she can barely see it anymore. It's like far, far away. And she went, oh my gosh, I think it's at the edge of the cloud. We better run. And so they started bounding across the cloud, going back over there as fast as they could. And the tree didn't seem to be getting much closer. As a matter of fact, it seemed to be farther away the faster they ran. And all of a sudden, Bob said, stop! And she stopped just at the edge of the cloud. And she looked down, and it was thousands of feet down to the water. And up there was the tree, far away, disappearing into the distance. As the cloud, it floated away from the island. And she could see her island down there. And it was small and white, and she could see the acacia trees, and she could see the little place where she'd lived. And the people couldn't see her. They were all looking up and just looking at the cloud disappearing, and they didn't know where she'd gone. And the cloud was moving far, far away from the island. And Bob turned to her. He said, well, at least I got some company for the next 50 years. Want some mint tea? And then she felt something behind her. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. And there was this wet sort of feeling on her back. Boom, boom, boom. And then she feels this warm breath. And she looks around, and you know who was behind her?
Fred!
And Fred kept doing this thing like this, and then like this, and like this. And then he went over to her flowers, and he went... And in her head, these thoughts started to form. It was kind of a picture, and it was a picture of a white horse. And the white horse had two flowers behind its ears. And it had wings. And it was flying. And she turned to Fred and she said, "You haven't any kind of strange sort of pictures in your head?" Fred goes, "Well, yeah. I'm picturing mint tea." She says, no, anything with horses, flowers, wings? Well, let me check. Mint tea. Lots of mint tea. That's all I see. She says, no. This is amazing. And she looked at Pegasus, or Fred, looked at Fred, and Fred's going, and Fred's pointing his head over the edge of the cloud. And he goes like this. And she all of a sudden realizes what it is. And she takes the flowers out of her hair. And Fred leans forward and she tucks them in behind his ears. And he stands back. And she looked at him and you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing at all. Other than Fred was going... And inside her head, the picture all of a sudden shows this little man with lederhosen sitting on the back of a horse who has wings, that's white, that has two flowers in the ears, and has a girl sitting on back with arms wrapped around him. And the horse is flying. And she turns to Fred and she says, "I know this is crazy, but..." Turns around to Bob and says, "I know this is crazy, but you know what we need to do? Get on the back of Fred." And Bob, of course, says, "Well, no, he won't let us do that. He's never done that. He runs away anytime I've tried to ride him." And all of a sudden, Fred just lay down. And Bob goes, "Holy smokes! This might be something." And so he hops on top. And just like in the picture she had in her head, Mary Lee hops on back and wraps her arms around. And then Bob says, "Okay, let's go for a ride. I want to go back to the house." And instead, Fred jumps off the side of the cloud. And they start falling like a stone, spinning and tumbling. And of course, old Bob's going, "Holy smokes, Lena, you're an idiot. What are we going to do? We're going to die. Let's get back on the cloud." And he grabs the ears of the horse and he's pulling back. "Oh, come on. Come on, Fred. Come on back." And just then, all of a sudden, these huge wings sprout from on the sides of this horse. And whoomp, all of a sudden, they're just flying through the sky. Bob says, "Whoa, didn't expect that." Mary Lee says, "That's what was in my mind. That's the picture I had. Hang on tight." And she hung on, and Bob just reached down and he grabbed the wings of Pegasus. And all of a sudden, Mary Lee remembered. That's where the falling stars came from. And the horse swooped and dived and flew and came down and around, down and down and down, going down and swimming across, flying across, just barely skimming the water towards the island. And just as they came up there, all the elders and all the people had come out of the forest because they'd seen this horse fall from the sky. And with a whoom, 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 Pegasus landed right there in front of Mary Lee's little house. And her dad came up and he wrapped his arms around her and gave her the biggest hug, and everybody came up and started cheering and yelling and howling, and they dragged her over and brought the horse over and Bob and his lederhosen by the fireplace, and they lit a big fire. And through the night, for the next 2 hours, all she did was tell stories about how she climbed the tree and how she found Bob and Fred and told the whole story. And from that day forward, every night, before everybody went to bed, all the children would get around Mary Lee. And they'd say, "Come on, once more, come on, just tell us once more the story of the cloud, the story of the tree that reached to the clouds." And she'd sat down and she'd tell them exactly what I just told you. The end.
No!
Yes! Was that what?
One of the children.
No, not this one. Okay. We did it on time, too. You're very welcome. I haven't told that one in a long time. Yeah, it's just texture. I mean, the story's not that. It's just texture.
Yeah.
Very visual. Yeah. Yeah. You're taller than the rest. You're not like the rest of these guys.
That was great. That was really good. I love it.
You are wonderful. You were wonderful.
It was really cool. I look forward to checking out the others.
Yeah, please do.
I've been hearing about it from my son a lot. He's really into it.
Well, I you can't imagine how much pleasure I get out of running into these kids in like the Niwot Market and Hemsis. You know, I so thank you.
You had them going. That was really cool.
Yeah, thank you so much. Your name?
Huh?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm Max.
Hey, Max.
Yeah, Mr. Tippett.
Mr. Deb Scott.
Scott.
Yeah.
Do you know
Yeah, I heard him once here.
Yeah, I haven't heard him live. I've heard him on CD.
I heard him live, and it kind of an inspiration for two reasons. One, I saw how much pleasure it brought, and also I realized...
Is he instrumental? I can't remember.
Yeah, he kind of does both. Yeah. But you realize how it's not that hard a skill to learn. It's not as hard as people think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think another great inspiration is Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Yeah, with
Charles Silverstein.
He's got that wonderful edge.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And he wrote a boy named Alice, was it? Or
yeah, a book. Kesh? A boy named Sue.
Boy named
he wrote that.
He wrote that song. That's a trivia fact.
I will remember that because I love that song.
So he was well versed and could do a lot of different types.
Yeah, he's a real talent. He died, I guess, a couple years back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So let me give you something since you're here, because they're going to give it. I'm.